Turn your Bibles to the 139th Psalm, Psalm 139. And as you're turning there, I'm going to share a little something with you. A man had been slipping in and out of a coma for several months, yet his wife stayed by his bedside every single day. One day, when he had come out of a coma, he told her, "You've been with me through all the bad times. When I got fired, you were there. When my business failed, you were there. When I got shot, you were there. When we lost a house, you were there. You were there through all of it." "You know what?" he said. "What is it, dear?" she replied. He gazed deeply in her eyes and he said, "I think you're bad luck." Amen. Happy Father's Day to all the dads that are here. I want to wish them a special, special blessing today. And in honor of dads, you can't get away with some dad jokes, right? So what are the hottest days of the summer? Sundays. That's right, Sundays. What do you call your dad that falls through the ice? Goodbye. How about a popsicle? A popsicle. A dad had his son on his shoulders and they were playing. The dad looked up. He said, "Son, if you don't stop pulling my hair, I'm going to have to put you down." The son looked at his dad. He says, "Dad, I'm just trying to get my gum out of your hair." Amen. So this morning, our message is, why am I here? Dads, how many times you've said that in your lifetime? Amen. Why am I here? How did I end up here? But what is my purpose? That is the question of the ages. And it's vitally important for us to know what our purpose is. That's because anything else that we do outside of our purpose is a waste of time and energy when we think about it. Anything that we do outside of our purpose, our calling, is a waste of our time and energy. God has a specific purpose for each and every one of us. And our job is to figure out what God has planned for us. And if we don't find and follow that purpose, our life will not be fulfilled. We're going to go through life feeling that something is missing, something just doesn't seem right. And many people do that today, and they look here to find the answer, and they look there to find the answer. They look at all these things that are in the world to try to find that answer. And that's what kind of life you're going to live if you don't find that purpose. Knowing our purpose is key to having the proper guidance and the proper priorities in our everyday life. Husbands, wives, you ever been out with your husband or your wife? Felt like stopping for a bite to eat? Look over to the wife. "Hun, what do you feel like?" She looks back at you. "I don't know. What do you feel like?" "Like Chinese or Italian? You feel like a sub? What do you feel like?" And you turn here and you make this turn and you end up doing a U-turn. Try to figure out where you're going to eat. If you knew where you were going before you left, you wouldn't have to make all those U-turns. Amen? You wouldn't have to make all those decisions about where you're going to turn. You wouldn't have to make all those decisions at every turn in life. Amen? But most today, they wrestle with every single decision at every intersection in their life. Why? Because they don't have their purpose. They don't know their purpose, and they don't have the proper guidance. Many Christians believe that their purpose is to be saved. Amen? Yes, we need to be saved, but for what? What did God save us for? We know what He saved us from, amen? He saved us from His judgment. He saved us from the bondage of sin. He saved us from the enemy, our flesh, the world, Satan. We know from what He saved us from, but for what did He save us? Amen? That is the question that we need to answer this morning. We need to know what he has saved us for. Amen? So, when we were sinners, we were unsaved. We were a lot like a wrecked car. Amen? Broken down on the side of the road, not going anywhere. Praise God, he brought us to Jesus' garage. God found us broken down. He found us all messed up. And he brought us to Jesus' garage and he restored us. Amen? Do you think that God restored us just to sit on a pew every Sunday? Amen? God didn't restore us just to sit in Jesus' driveway, did he? He didn't restore us just to sit on the pew each and every week. Too many Christians, unfortunately, think that way today. They believe that just going to church fulfills their Christian duty. But that's not God's view. God saved and restored you, and he saved and restored me for a purpose. Amen? And we're going to be looking in the 139th Psalm this morning. It's a psalm about God. Amen? It describes who God is. You see, if we discover who he is, then we are going to see who we are. Amen? Once we see and understand who God is, we can see and understand who we are a lot more clear. If I were an evolutionist, if I believed in evolution, I see myself existing solely by chance. Amen? That's what evolution teaches. Everything happened by chance. And if I believe in evolution, that means I see myself existing simply only by chance. I don't have much value, if that be the case. I certainly have no purpose. If I just happen to exist by chance, I have no value and I have no purpose. But if I see myself as the loving creation of Almighty God, then by all means, I know that I am greatly valued. I know that I have a purpose and I want to live for my Creator. Amen. Let's start reading 139th Psalm. Start reading at verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. First thing I want us to see in this wonderful psalm is that God knows all about me. Amen? God knows all about me. He doesn't just see me. God sees through me. Amen? He sees through all the facades that we put on, right? We put on different faces according to who we're with or where we're at. God sees through all that. Amen? God doesn't just see me, he sees through me. God knows my nature. Amen? God knows my nature. My reputation is what others think about me. Amen? But my character, my nature, is what God knows about me. And that's the most important thing. Amen? Not our reputation, but our character. He knows who I truly am. He knows my nature. Amen? Secondly, God knows my ways. Look at verse 2. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. God knows my every move. Amen? An older preacher, he had a plaque on his mantle in his family room. It said, "Thou God seest me." He had this young man visiting, and he saw the plaque, and the young man said, "Doesn't that just absolutely frighten you to know that God is watching you all the time, every single day?" That preacher looked at that young man, smiled ear to ear, and he said, "It's quite the opposite." He said, "It makes me feel wonderful. It tells me that he loves me so much that he can't take his eyes off of me." Amen. Isn't that a beautiful thought? God loves us so much that he just cannot take his eyes off of us. God knows my nature, God knows my ways, and God knows my thoughts. Look at verse 2 again. You understand my thought afar off. God knows exactly what you are thinking this very moment. Uh-oh. Thinking about lunch? God knows if you're paying attention to this message. God knows what you're planning after service. God even knows if you don't like the pastor's tie today. Caleb said it looks like the Joker. He said the green and the purple. He said you're dressed up like the Joker. Any Batman fans out there? But God knows whether or not or what you were thinking about. Amen. God knows. You may be full of hate, and God says you have murder in your heart. Jesus said if you hate your brother, then you're a murderer. Amen. But God also knows if your heart is full of praise. And he says, then your heart is full of my Holy Spirit. Amen. God knows our thoughts. God also knows our conversation. Look at verse 4. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. Uh-oh. Did you know that in an average day, most of us speak enough words to fill an entire book? Listen, I know some that can fill a couple books in a day. Hey, babe. Matthew chapter 12. Good thing Scripture rescues us. Amen. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Jesus said, "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment." It was once said that there are many things that are opened by mistake, but none more often than our mouth. Amen. There are many things that are opened by mistake, but nothing more often than our mouth. God knows every word. He knows every profane shout, and he knows every single gossip that we share. God knows it all. He knows who, and he knows what. But thank God, he also knows every prayer whispered. He knows every person we've prayed for. He knows every situation that we are praying for. Now, this may be an absolute terror for those who are unsaved, those who don't know Christ as their personal Savior, but it's pure comfort for the child of God. Amen. God knows who we've been thinking about. God knows who's been heavy on our hearts. God knows who we've been praying for. And that's comforting. God simply knows all about me. Amen. Secondly, what we can find from our passage is that God is always with me. God is always with me. Look back at verse 5. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 24. You know, we think about how foolish it is for us to try to run and hide from God. Amen. We think back in the book of Genesis. Before Adam and Eve sinned, they had that sweet fellowship with God each and every single day. God would come down and commune with Adam and fellowship and talk together. And then the moment that Adam sinned, what did he do? He tried to go and hide from God. It's foolish for us to do that. Listen to Jeremiah 23, verse 24. Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? Listen, we need to understand that God is not confined to just church buildings. Amen? Many feel that they have to come to church in order to get close to God. And we need, absolutely, church is a great place for us to come to learn about God. Amen? But God is as much out there as He is in here. Amen? There is more of His creation out there than we can cram in here. Church is a great place to come to learn about God, but we cannot confine God to just a church building. He cannot be contained in one spot. Look at the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 24. Listen to what God said. God, who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, He does not dwell in temples made with hands. What God is telling us is that He is everywhere. He is not just contained to church buildings or synagogues or any other religious buildings. God is everywhere. He cannot be contained. Pastor, what about death? Listen, even death cannot hide us from God. Look at verses 7 and 8 in our passage. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. Amen. There is no place that we can go and hide from God. Secondly, we also need to understand that Satan is not the Lord of hell. Now, Hollywood wants us to think that. Satan is not the Lord of hell. Hell was created for him and his fallen angels. The Bible tells us that, declares that. And they will absolutely be cast there for eternity. But when God casts Satan into hell, Satan will not reign in hell. Amen? God is the one who reigns in heaven, on earth, and in hell. God reigns over all. He's over it all. Amen? And when you die, God is still there. If you die unsaved and without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us that you will stand before God at the great white throne judgment. And if you die in the Lord, what a joy that will be. Amen. To close our eyes in this world and to open them again in glory to see our glorious Savior. Remember, Fanny Crosby, very famous for writing some of the most beautiful hymns that we have in our hymn books today. Fanny Crosby was blind her whole life. And someone asked Fanny, they said, "Do you regret being blind?" And she said, "No, not at all." She says, I feel sorry for those with sight. You see, she said, "When I get to heaven, the very first thing that I will ever see will be the face of my precious Savior." Amen. Wonderful testimony. You think about that. Death cannot hide us from our Lord. I also want to make a point here. There are not and will never be an atheist in hell. Amen? God makes it very clear that they will all know truth. Every single person. No matter where you came from, no matter how much wealth you attained, no matter how much wisdom you attained on this side of eternity, there will not be an atheist in hell. Amen? Romans 14:11. "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." Philippians 2:10. "That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth." Amen? Every knee. It doesn't matter what you choose to believe in on this side of eternity. It doesn't matter what you chose to put your faith in on this side of eternity. The bottom line, the Bible makes it very clear that every single knee will bow to Jesus Christ and declare that He is the King of Kings. and Lord of Lords. Amen. So death can't hide us from God, neither can distance. Look at verse 9 in our text. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. What did David mean here? He said, if I take the wings of the morning. What David was talking about, he said, literally, if I jump on and ride the rays of the sun, if I could ride on a beam of light as far as it could take me, God, you would still be there as far as I could go. Amen. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. And yet, even there at that speed, we cannot hide from God. Amen. How many people today try to run from God? They try to run from their problems and try to hide from them. They believe that if they run far enough, they can find happiness wherever they go. The problem is, no matter where you go, you're still with you. Amen. And we want to figure out where the problems come from. We look in the mirror. Right? We can't outrun ourselves. And even still, God will still be there no matter where we run to. God is still going to be there. God can't go anywhere. Why? Because He's already there. When you finish trying to run from God, we need to understand that He will be there. Amen. Patiently waiting for you. The whole time you were running from Him, He was right there anyhow. And once you realize that, He'll still be there, patiently waiting for you. Death doesn't hide us from God. Distance doesn't hide us from God. Neither does darkness. Look at verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. The unsaved, evil people, they don't like light. They prefer darkness. Amen. But God is still there even in the darkness. Light is not there for God to see. God is the light that shines in the darkness. Amen. He is that light. Bottom line is, God knows all about you. He is always with you. You cannot outrun. You cannot outwit. You cannot outdistance Almighty God. Amen. Third important point. God has an amazing plan for you. Amen. God has an amazing plan for you. Look at verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written. The days fashioned for me, when as yet there is there none of them. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Our body is made up of trillions and trillions of cells. Scientists estimate that you can fit 40,000 cells in the tiny O on a page of your Bible. 40,000. And each of those microscopic cells contain 200 trillion atoms. That's mind-blowing. We can't even fathom numbers that big. And every minute, 3 million of our cells die and are not even replaced. every minute. If you could see half of what's going on inside of us, we'd be afraid to even move. Amen. But God wonderfully made us. Every single cell that's made up of all those atoms, they're all a micro-universe inside of us. Each and every little cell is a micro-universe inside of itself, and God made it all. Amen. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And I say all of that to make this point. You are not an accident. You don't exist by chance. God carefully crafted you. God gratefully and mercifully and gracefully formed you in your mother's womb. And He created you for a unique purpose. Amen. You're not here by chance. You're here to fulfill a purpose. He is an all-powerful God, and He has a wonderful plan for each and every one of us. Amen. He formed you in your mother's womb. You are not just a number. You're not chance. God created you special. Amen. Unique. Each and every one of us. Think about how mighty God is. Amen. There's not a prayer that He cannot answer. There is not a sin that God cannot forgive. There is not a soul that God cannot save. And there is not a problem that God cannot solve. Amen. He has an amazing plan just for your life. Amen. I want to close on this one last thought. God always has you in His heart. Amen. Look at verse 17 and 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Think of how many grains of sand make up the Sahara Desert. We don't even have a number that big. What about the Mojave Desert? Not just the deserts, what about every beach? What about every mountain? Every grain of sand. The Bible says that God's thoughts of you are greater than the sum of all of them. Did you ever think about that? God loves you more than you could even imagine. Far more than you can even fathom. People dread God and they run from God, but we need to understand that's Satan's work to make us think negatively of God. Amen? That's Satan just trying to lie to us about who God is. God isn't sitting up on His throne with a lightning bolt in His hand just waiting for us to mess up. That's not God. That's not who God declared Himself as. Amen? God loves us and He wants to bless us. And He wants to shower us with that love. And that's a love even more than we can comprehend. You know, when we love somebody, we expect to be what? Loved back, don't we? God doesn't. God loves us unconditionally. That means there is nothing that I can do to make God love me less. There's nothing that I can do to make Him love me more. He loves me regardless. Amen. But preacher, what about all of His laws? I can't do this, don't do that. Listen, every time you read God's word and you read don't do this or don't do that, the only thing God is saying is I don't want you to get hurt. Amen. God is saying don't get hurt. He's putting that in because He knows what will happen if we did do that. It would hurt us. Dads, moms that are here, we raise our children. We tell them what? Don't touch that or don't go there. Why? Because we don't want them to get hurt. And the same thing is in God's Word. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. What does the sun do? Helps us to see things in our way, right? We can certainly see better in the daylight than we can at night, can't we? God is our sun to help us see those problems, those obstacles, those dangers in our way. And God also is our shield to deflect those things in our path. Listen, we could never even imagine how many things God has protected us from that we didn't even know existed. Amen. God is our sun and our shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Listen, if it is good for you, if it is healthy for you, if it is wholesome for you, God says, go at it. Help yourself. Get your fill of it. I will not hold it back from you. God loves you and He loves me. Amen? God loves us all unconditionally. But you know what? God doesn't love us all in some strange looks. He loves us each. One by one. Amen. God loves us each one by one. So why am I here? Why do I exist? If an angel were to go up to God and say, Lord, why did you create mankind? God would look at the angel and say, so I could love them and they could love me back. Amen. You see, God could have created us robots. He could have created us robots that constantly praise Him and just love Him automatically. But that's not true love. God created us with a free will. And He has showered His love upon us. He sent His Son to die for us, to show His love for us. For one reason. For us to love Him back. Amen. And when we love Him back, we recognize what He did for us. We recognize why He sent Christ to die in our place. And when we love Him back, we understand that we need a Savior. And His name is Jesus Christ. God didn't create us just to serve Him. Listen, the angels serve Him far better than we ever could. Amen. That's not why God created us. God made us in His image. Even the angels can't declare that. God made us in His image so that we could know Him, so that we could love Him, and that we can live for Him. Amen.